And yet at the same time, we rejoice because Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Today, as a part of that upper room discourse, Jesus teaches us how to pray. And we pray that God would richly bless us as we hear His word and receive His gifts. A short reminder, right after our worship service today, we have a special voters assembly for the purpose of calling a teacher for our school. And so we invite you to stick around for that, and we pray that we'll keep it as brief and concise as we can. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn is number 484, Make Songs of Joy. Please stand on the last verse of that hymn. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3. That's on page 184 and following. We have a worship insert for the day. Readings are on one side, the propers are on the other. We'll make sure that we're on the right page at the right time. And before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have made us Your children in the waters of holy baptism, adopting us as Your sons and daughters. Heavenly Father, today, teach us by the power of Your Word and the holy and precious blood of Jesus, teach us how to pray. In Jesus' precious name, we gather, worship, and pray this day. Amen. Amen. Hymn 484.
Number 3, page 184, page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant to us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishments. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We turn to the words of the introit. We chant them together as printed on your bulletin insert. Let us pray. O God, the giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
I am the bread of life. You are the true vine. The epistle is from 1 Timothy chapter 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for our gospel reading. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father Himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father." His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." This is the Gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of life, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven.
that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. Please be seated. Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, Jesus today teaches His disciples and He teaches us how to pray. We know the disciples asked Jesus, "Jesus, teach us how to pray." And so He did. When you pray, pray like this: "Our Father, who art in heaven." And He gave them and us the Lord's Prayer. We call God Father because we are His children. But do we really believe it? Do we really buy this stuff? Most Christians, big headline here, are you ready? Most Christians don't pray. I don't need a show of hands. Chief of sinners though I be. Oh, we might pray a little when we want something, when we need something, and then we're the first to whine and complain when we don't get what we want when we want it. Take out your insert, if you would. The pastor already prayed the collect for the day. Generally, we're shuffling our pages in our hymnal when that happens. The collect is supposed to be that unifying prayer, that collection of thoughts that unites the entire service into one short prayer. That collect, "O God, the giver of all that is good." You really believe that? You really believe that God is the giver of all that is good? Come on. You work hard for what you have. You've earned it. You deserve it. I have what I have. I have what is good. Maybe with a little help from God, but sometimes, deep down, don't we believe that it's in spite of God we had to do it ourselves? It gets better. By your holy inspiration, oh, inspire my heart. Motivate me. No. By your holy inspiration, by the Word of God, the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God, that by your Word, God, the giver of all good gifts, you, God, one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are going to do something. What are you going to do? Grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding, accomplish them. God, who is the giver of all good things, by the power of His Word, will teach us right from wrong and actually accomplish it. That's what we prayed. But how many of us actually believe that? Most of us have fallen into the trap that has been set for us by that unholy trinity, the devil, the world, and our flesh. It sounds so good. We have been caught up in the spirit of this age. The spirit of this age that teaches us that there is no such thing as absolute truth, absolute right, absolute wrong. That all gods are the same and that all religions lead to the same place. This is what the spirit of the age teaches. And while we may not buy it all, hook, line, and sinker, there are certain parts of that that sound very good and very true. How many churches? How many organizations? How many lodges build their entire theme around the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man? Notice what's missing? Any specifics about who God is and how you get to heaven. That's forbidden. That's not tolerated in the name of tolerance. How dare you say that there is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? How dare you say that there is only one way to God through the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus? I like to call this a Coca-Cola theology. We're all holding hands throughout all the world, and we're all the same, and we're all brothers and sisters. Well, in one respect, we are all brothers and sisters, because we are all created by God. But that's where that stops. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And for those who are not in Christ, they are outside of this divine fellowship that God has created. What God is teaching us today is that to pray, to truly pray, we pray in the name of Jesus. And that doesn't just mean tacking the name of Jesus on a thought or a prayer. It means to actually believe that Jesus is who He says He is. The last words, repeated from earlier in our text, that is why we believe that You, Jesus, came from God. Christ is the world's Redeemer. We just sang it. Do we really believe it? Because outside of that faith, there is no need to pray. Outside of that faith, those prayers have no promise of being heard. It's just a game. It's just a facade. My friends, when we pretend that there is nothing special about Christ and His entrance into this world, what He has done for the world, what He has done for you, and that all people, regardless of what they believe or who they think God might be, that everyone is the same before God, we negate Christ. His coming into this world means nothing. Oh, maybe a pious gesture of love and sacrifice, but nothing more. Good Friday and Easter, they're an afterthought. They're not necessary. We don't need Jesus if everyone is a brother and sister. That's the spirit of this day. People want the benefits of Christ, the benefits that God promises in His Word, apart from Christ and His Word. That's the spirit of this day. We don't want God's name to be hallowed. We want our own name to be lifted up and hallowed. We don't want God's kingdom to come. We want to build our own little kingdom of power and might and glory. God's will be done? No way. I want what I want, and I want it now. That's the spirit of this age. I'm reminded of a friend, acquaintance that I had many, many years ago. I grew up with his kids and went to school with his kids. And then later on, I served on the city council in the small little town that I grew up in. Ole was a self-made man. He was hard. He was calloused. He was crusty. He was wise by the world's standards. He was a hard worker. And he was an honest pagan. He wanted nothing to do with the church. Oh, his wife was a member. His kids were members. But Ole wanted nothing to do with the church. And one day, when he knew that his wife and I had been talking about how to get him somehow connected to the church, Ole came up to me and he said, "Poppy!" His term of endearment for me. "Poppy, you know that you could not carry my body into church in any way, shape, or form while I'm alive. Don't you dare think you're going to do it when I'm dead." He was a pagan. He was honest about it. He wanted nothing to do with the church while he was alive, and he didn't want anybody to pretend that he was a Christian after he was dead. Now, while that is a very sad attitude, I can respect an honest pagan more than I can respect someone who wants to have it both ways. Wants nothing to do with the church and then pretends that they are a pious Christian, whether it be at the time of their burial or any other time during their life. The spirit of this age is rampant all around us. And when it comes to prayer, we see it. God is like a heavenly vending machine. And if we punch the right buttons and drop in the right coins, we get what we want. We pray to God when we have an owie or a boo-boo, and we expect Him to make it better. We pray to God when we have a craving, a want, a desire, and then when we don't get it, we have somebody to blame. God Himself. My friends, the spirit of this age is trying to take your focus off of the One who makes prayer not only possible, but it makes it a true and important part of living the Christian life. God's Word teaches us. Our first parents fell. They fell into sin and brought that sin not only upon themselves, but upon all people, including you and me. Our access to God, which was enjoyed by Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, that access and that communication with God was changed and changed forever. A wall of sin and hostility was erected by people, by God, by man's disobedience. God gave a word of promise, a word that He would send one who would tear down that dividing wall of sin between God and His creation. And God, as He always does, keeps His word. He sends His Son into the flesh. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, comes into this world. He is the Son of God. He is not the Son of God in the same way that you and I are sons and daughters of God. We are adopted into God's family. Jesus, true God, very God of very God, begotten, not made, as we confessed earlier in the Nicene Creed. He is one with the Father. He takes on flesh and blood for one reason and one reason only: to save the world from sin and an eternity of separation from God. Jesus takes on flesh and blood. He comes from the Father.
He accomplishes the work that the Father has sent Him to do. To live, to die, to rise, to ascend. Do we believe it? Do we believe that God sent His Son into this world? Do we believe that God took on flesh and blood for me, for my sin, and for my salvation? My friends, when we believe that Christ has come into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, then everything changes. We know that we have been adopted by God into the family. The blood of Jesus Christ wraps us with a robe, not of our own self-justification and our own good works, but with the righteousness of Christ. We hear the Father inviting you and me, His children, to pray. To pray in Jesus' name. That means to pray for the things that God would have us pray for. To know that there is no other location for the love of God than Jesus Christ. Jesus, who is love incarnate. Jesus teaches us what the Father wants to give us. Not always everything we want, but to trust that God knows our needs better than we do. To hallow God's name, admitting that God has better words than we do, and clinging and trusting to the holy and divine Word to teach us right from wrong, to teach us what we truly need, forgiveness, life, and salvation, and to cling to Him during our suffering, during our sorrow, during our loss, knowing that He will never leave us nor forsake us, and being reminded of the suffering and separation from God that He endured on our behalf so that our suffering would be temporary and our separation would be non-existence. My friends, it is only in the truth of Jesus Christ that we can truly pray to God. Praying to God in Jesus' name. My friends, there are many times that we don't necessarily want what God's Word says. We don't necessarily want what God promises. The spirit of this age and the voices of this age are strong and powerful. God's Word today teaches us that if you really don't want what Jesus wants to give you, then you should go and find some idol of your own making, and see how that works out for you. Go ahead and make an idol out of your mammon. You know, your stuff. Your house, your money, your portfolio, your farm, your sports team, whatever. Go ahead and make an idol out of that mammon. Go ahead and bow down to it. Worship it. Devote your whole life to it. But you know what? You will never, ever, ever be truly satisfied. there will always be something lacking. Go ahead and make an idol out of your own body. Our world is really, really obsessed with that right now. And then, when you get sick, when you get older, when the aches and pains of old age afflict you as they afflict all of us, you'll realize that as your body grows old and gets sick and dies, there is no satisfaction or salvation there. Go ahead and make an idol out of your pride. Go ahead and make an idol out of what other people think of you. Go ahead, seek the approval of the crowds. And watch. And watch how quickly they turn against you. My friends, this is what the spirit of this age teaches us. And these are hard lessons. But God's Word says, worship me. Pray to me. Pray in the name of Jesus. Because there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. To pray in the name of Jesus is to confess that Jesus really is who He claims to be. True God, begotten of the Father from all eternity, and also true man. He is our Lord and our Savior, who took on flesh and blood, who lived and died and rose again. For all of the times we have clung to false gods, for all of the times when we have worshipped at the altar of self or mammon or approval, for all of the times when we thought we had better words than God, and for all of the times when we heard God's begging us to pray, and we decided we would go it on our own. My friends, we can trust that God's love for us is real. It's sealed in the blood of Jesus. And we can trust that God truly is the giver of all good gifts. The greatest gift of all, Jesus, for you. Jesus, teach us to pray. When you pray, Jesus says, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, know for certain that you are God's child. You have been adopted into His family, wrapped with the robe of Christ's righteousness. Hallowed be Thy name. God's Word is holy in itself. But we pray that His Word would be holy and precious to us, and that we would cling to it in any and every situation. More precious even than all of our stuff. Thy kingdom come. God's kingdom is real. It's God's gift for you. I don't have to worry about building up a kingdom of my own, because my kingdom and my future is secure in Jesus Christ. Give us this day our daily bread. I don't have to pray about being wealthy or winning the lottery. Why? Because I know that God will take care of me today. Taking care of all that I need to support this body and life today. And then tomorrow, I can trust that God will take care of me today. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. God's forgiveness in Jesus is real. And because we are forgiven, we live a life that wants to love and serve and forgive one another. Lead us not into temptation. Lord, preserve us from those things that would tear us away from You and from Your holy and precious Son. Preserve us from listening to the spirit and the voices of this age that want us to spend an eternity in separation from You. Deliver us from evil. Preserve us from an evil death. But teach us each and every day that we are in Your hands and nothing or no one can snatch us out, and that because of the love of Jesus, we have nothing to fear, not even death itself. Why? Because Christ has overcome death for you and for me and for the life of the world. My friends, today, Jesus is teaching us how to pray. My prayer is that we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, our prayers in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. In order to pray, as God would have us pray, we need a heart transplant. And that's exactly what God gives us. We sing now the offertory, page 192. Please stand. Teaches us to pray, but He is truly the one who promises to answer and intercede for us. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship, pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a God who sends His Son to save sinners like us would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
stand for prayer. Let us pray to our Heavenly Father as His dear children in Jesus' name for all that is in accord with His good and gracious will. Gracious Father, You have called Your church in Jesus Christ to intercede on behalf of the world in prayers and supplications and to shine forth with Your light for the life of the world, that others may know Your grace, mercy, love, and forgiveness poured out for all in Jesus' atoning blood upon the cross, and glorify Your name. Preserve Your church in the faithful reception of Your gifts and in the proclamation of Your mercy and grace. Through trial and tribulation, grant us peace in Jesus Christ, who has overcome the world. Lord, in Your mercy, merciful Father, enable us to be doers of the Word, and so pray for and serve the destitute, the hungry, the homeless, widows and orphaned, the imprisoned, and all who cry to the Lord for mercy in time of need, especially those who have requested our prayers, that they may know the consolation of Christ's love and feel and experience His healing power and comfort. Lord, in Your mercy, nurturing Father, You have received Your Son, Jesus, to Yourself in His ascension as our victorious Savior and King, that He should fill all things and rule over heaven and earth for our good and to Your glory. Prepare the hearts of all who come to receive Him in this Holy Supper, that we might approach in reverence, humility, and receive in His body and blood the forgiveness of our sins, the strengthening of our faith, life and salvation. Lord, in Your mercy, righteous Father, we thank and praise You for the gifts that You pour out upon us. We thank and praise You for the gift of our school that You have entrusted to our care. We pray, O Lord, for our voters' meeting upcoming. We pray, O Lord, for the teacher that we are seeking, that You would provide for us, provide for our school. We pray for the Aarons family as they prepare to transition to Missouri, that You would be with them in this time of transition. Lord, of Your mercy, into Your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in Your mercy through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord. Amen. The service of the sacrament, page 194. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to You, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise You on this day for the glorious resurrection of Your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sin of the world. By His dying, He has destroyed death, and by His rising again, He has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Your glorious name, evermore praising You and saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me." In the same way also He took the cup after supper, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. body and precious blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart with peace, with great joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand and we sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199.